Morning, everyone. Let's imagine that you went to culinary school. So you're a trained chef. And let's say that you landed a gig somewhere as someone's personal chef. Say some very wealthy person hired you to cook for them, to cook meals for their family, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And let's say that you really enjoyed this job. You loved cooking anyways, but this family that you're working for, they're just very nice to you. You really love working with them. And so you held on to this job for, let's say, 30 years until it was time to retire. Now, after retiring, you might spend some time reflecting back on your work career, the many decades you spent cooking for this family, and you might ask yourself, was I a successful chef? Did I fulfill my role as this family's personal chef? What factors would you use to evaluate whether you succeeded in this role of yours? Well, ultimately, you'd have to say that it wasn't about the meals you got to prepare. Maybe you didn't get to cook all sorts of fancy dishes like lobster thermidor or duckbill Milanese, because this family only liked simple meals. Maybe they only liked comfort foods like mac and cheese and meatloaf and fried chicken, and that's all you really got to cook. Maybe you didn't really get to stretch your cooking skills, and you didn't end up showing your work and your food in famous magazines like Bon Appetit or Food and Wine. But that's okay, because you realize that success as this family's personal chef isn't based on attaining all those accolades, but simply whether you please the family. If you served your boss's interests, then you could say that you fulfilled your role, that you did good as a personal chef. Well, one day, as a parent, your kids will be grown up, moved out of the house, and you might do a very similar thing. You might reflect back on all the years that you spent raising your children, and you might wonder if you were a successful parent. Did I do a good job? Did I fulfill my role as mom and dad? And I think God would want you to use a very similar evaluation process. In God's eyes, success as a parent isn't based on whether your kids had lots of toys or were given every opportunity and went to the finest schools. Success isn't ultimately based on whether you fed them the most healthy foods, took lots of vacations with them, and those kinds of things. You must realize that success is based on whether you please your master, whether you pleased your Lord in heaven, whether you served his interests and you were faithful to what he called you to be as a mother and a father. Ultimately, that's what determines whether you were a good parent or not. Did you please Christ? In other words, just because you had a good relationship with your child doesn't mean you were a good parent. Because you could have a good relationship with your child, but it's all centered on worldly things. And you never taught them the gospel or a Christian worldview. As Christians, I know how much our heart longs for our kids to be saved. But just because your kid professes Christ doesn't mean that you were a good Christian parent. Maybe they're a Christian despite you doing everything possible to drive them away from Christ. And so they were saved by his grace and nothing you did. And so strive to remember that, you know, this very important point that your highest desire, your greatest pursuit as a parent is actually to please Christ. To please the one who saved you. That's what will ultimately determine whether you were a good parent or not. And so for this first session, I want to encourage you to please Christ through your parenting. I know your notes say gospel-centered parenting, but you could add a subtitle there, pleasing Christ through your parenting. Pleasing Christ through your parenting. And so I want to offer you some encouragement on what Christ-centered parenting looks like. We'll be spending most of our time in Ephesians 6, so you could open your Bible there to Ephesians 6. Let's go ahead and read these first four verses here in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, in order to encourage you to please Christ through your parenting, I have two primary exhortations for you this morning. First of all, I encourage you to pursue Christ with increasing passion. And secondly, I would encourage you to point your kids to Christ with indelible perseverance. I think this summarizes how you're going to be faithful to the calling that God has given you as mom and dad. So first of all, pursue Christ with increasing passion. Notice here that I'm not even starting with your children. I'm starting with you. The best way to reach children is by reaching the parents, making sure that you're close to Christ. And this is one of the main reasons we're having this parent equipping day. It's because no matter how much good work is done with the kids on Wednesday night or Friday night or on Sunday mornings, these kids primarily need your involvement. They primarily need the training they're going to get from mommy and daddy. And they're not going to get the necessary teaching and encouragement unless you're walking with Christ. I mean, why would you even bother spending hours teaching your kids about Christ instead of watching TV unless you really love the Savior? Why would you persevere through all the difficult moments of parenting, the sleepless nights of infancy, or the rebellious years of the teenage years, unless you care about the Savior's glory? Why would you bother to humble yourself before your child and even ask for their forgiveness for things that you've done wrong, unless Christ has a hold of your heart? You see, it totally makes sense to start with you guys, because you guys are going to be the biggest influence in your kids' lives. And you won't care about pleasing Christ through your parenting unless you draw near to Christ. And so for one thing, in pursuing Christ with increasing passion, I would encourage you to grow in your love for Christ. Now here in Ephesians 6, you have to remember that these aren't the first verses of Paul's letter. In fact, this comes towards the very end. Paul didn't write to the Ephesians and immediately tell them to train up their kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. No, he begins this letter, the first whole three chapters, reminding these Christians about what God has done. You can't walk in a manner worthy of the calling, as he begins chapter 4, unless you understand the incredible saving grace of God. Paul would want you to be on the same page as him. He wants you to be able to say along with him, "Blessed be God. Lord, I praise your name for what you've done. I was callous. I was ignorant. I was dead. I was exactly like what you were describing there, Paul. I was all those things. But then you showed me mercy. You revived me. You made me alive. I praise you." In fact, at the end of chapter 3, you might remember this wonderful prayer of Paul, how he prays that you would grow in comprehending the depth and breadth and height and length of God's love. He wants you to know just how much God has loved you. You must be in love with Christ and appreciate his love if you're going to parent your kids well. And so, can I ask you, parents, do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? Or, ever since you had kids, has your love for Christ been decreasing or has it been growing? Has it remained stagnant? Has your difficult kids soured your love for Christ and diminished any desire to serve his name? You know, I've seen parents who, once they have kids, it's like they drop out of ministry. It's like they drop out of sight in the church. That's what kids can do in your life sometimes. Have the kids basically made you so busy that you no longer spend consistent time fellowshipping with your Savior, communing with Him? You know, that's a slope you don't want to get on as a parent. If your love for Christ hasn't been growing, strive to do something about it. Strive to grow. This is a great starting point to becoming a better parent. I mean, just some practical suggestions for doing this. Study the Scriptures regularly. Don't just wait for Sunday to come around. Before you get into the Word, try to do this consistently throughout the week. Husbands and wives, make time for each other to get into the Word. Free each other up. Be willing to watch the kids for each other so that you can get encouraged in the Word of God. Strive to be consistent at church events. Read a book on parenting every once in a while. I read a book on parenting recently, and it really refreshed my soul. Made me just want to be committed to this task as a parent again. It's like, wow, I've found that happens every time I read a parenting book. It just refreshes me and makes me resolved once again to be the parent God wants me to be. We get weary. We get tired as much as you've learned and you know these truths, right? Isn't that not the problem, though? Not the fact that you know these truths, but you grow weary in living them out, in persisting in them. And we need constant encouragement, not to teach us these truths, because we know these things oftentimes as parents, but to just light the fire again. This is important. This deserves my attention. Spend time with other mature brothers and sisters who can encourage you, not just in parenting, but in your walk, in your love for Christ. And learn to get fellowship from your family, from your spouse even. Yeah, I don't know if your interactions with your spouse are centered around Christ. Do you get actually encouraged when you're with your spouse spiritually? You know, learn to kind of develop that environment. So that's the first thing I would do to encourage you in pursuing Christ. Secondly, I would encourage you to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Notice here in Ephesians 6, verse 4 clearly says that one of your responsibilities as a parent is to teach your kids, to give them instruction. You are their primary instructor. Well, teaching obviously requires knowledge. You can't teach what you don't know. And Paul actually qualifies this teaching there. He says you must bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. You haven't fulfilled your role, in other words, if you've merely taught your kids everything to know about cars and computers and organic foods. You must give them instruction concerning Christ. And that's why you must grow in the knowledge of Christ. That's the most worthwhile information you could pass down to your kids. And maybe this hasn't quite hit you yet as a parent, but when you decided to have kids, and maybe it was an accident, but you've actually signed yourself up to be a shepherd. Whether you realize it or not, by having children, you have put yourself into the role of being a spiritual leader, being the primary spiritual influence over these kids' souls. You may not see yourself as a shepherd, as a teacher, but because you're a parent, that's what you are. And whether you open your mouth or not, you are teaching your kids a bunch of things, good or bad. It's actually a pretty weighty thought. And so take this seriously. There are very important lessons that you need to teach your kids. And so strive to grow in the knowledge of Christ so that you give them a true view of life. And here are some lessons. Just when I was creating this message, these were a number of the lessons I had to review with my kids just in the weeks leading up to preparing this message. Why do we go to church? What is the biblical reason to work hard at school? What is patience? What is kindness? What is jealousy? What is the correct perspective on trials? Those are some things that I had to review with my kids just in the weeks leading up to preparing this message. And it should make you think, I mean, have I taught my kids these things? How would I answer those questions? Those are important questions, right? Why do we go to church? How should we respond to trials? What is the correct view on trials? When something hard happens in life, what is patience? And I'm sure you could keep going and going and going. All sorts of lessons that you probably had the chance to review with your kids, and maybe you didn't even take the opportunity to go over them with your kids. And that was just informally. I didn't plan those things. They just came up because of various situations in life. You know, one thing I think really helps when it comes to teaching kids, by the way, is trying to connect this stuff to everyday life to make sure that it's, you know, integrated into your teaching, that it just comes up naturally throughout everyday life. You want to give your kids this perspective that Christ is part of life. He is life. You know, you don't want them to, in other words, for you as a parent, don't just grow in knowledge, but I would challenge you to grow in communicating this knowledge. Because as I said, you signed yourself up to be a shepherd. You've signed yourself up to be a teacher. Are you growing as a teacher in communicating God's truth to them? So work hard at this. You know, for example, here's a little fun exercise you can do. Let's say that, you know, there's certain places you constantly take your kids, or regularly, right? You drive them to the doctor regularly. You drive them, take them with you to the store regularly. You know, observe the things that you see during your drive to the store, when you're taking them to Costco or whatever, right? Along the way, you might see hills, sky, clouds, deer, cars, pedestrians, all sorts of different things, right? Have you ever thought about taking those landmarks and then seeing how you might make biblical connections through those landmarks and even teach them a very informal lesson about God on the way to Costco, on the way to Safeway, on the way to Kaiser? Grow as a teacher. Really practice this. This is one of your main responsibilities as a parent, to be their teacher. Really think about how you can be a better teacher. And by the way, this is a process, okay? In other words, it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers right now before you start doing this. And it doesn't mean you have to be a seminary graduate. It doesn't mean that you have to be a gifted speaker with a teaching ministry. You can still teach your kids well if you haven't gone to seminary, if you don't have a teaching gift in the church. You know, what pleases Christ is this desire to grow, and growth is a process. Not something you immediately attain and then you're done. And so strive to grow in knowing Christ and knowing the essential truths of the Christian life so that you'll be able to answer the most important questions about life. And it helps to be humble in this process as well. Be willing to ask for counsel. You know, a lot of situations in life are confusing. You don't know the answers. Be willing to seek advice. You know, how did you approach this subject with your kids? What did you do when your kids did this? Be willing to ask other people. You don't have to figure this all out by yourself. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Thirdly, in this pursuit of Christ, I would encourage you to grow in Christ-likeness. You know, when this verse tells us to bring up our kids in the instruction of the Lord, you have to remember that not all your instruction comes through spoken word. Your words can be either reinforced or sabotaged by your behavior, by your character. And so that's why it's important to be growing in godly character. For one thing, this is for your own sanity, because parenting really tests your patience. Your endurance will be tested. Your humility will be challenged. You'll just turn into one big ball of stress and complacency and indifference if you don't have the strength of Christ to sustain you. You need His grace in your heart so that you don't return evil for evil, so that you don't harden your heart towards your children, so that you don't become pragmatic, so you don't just plain give up. Forget it. You could go ahead and do whatever you're doing. You've beat me up too bad. I'm done with you. And how many moments have we been tempted to do that as parents? And maybe done that many times, right? If you have special needs kids, you need Christ more than solutions. You know, I think thinking about having special needs kids and the temptation to just want, I wish my kid would get over this already, and I wish my kid would, there would be a solution to this problem already. But then, man, what you need more than solutions is the grace of Christ to sustain you even if you don't have a solution. That's way better. So this is for your sanity. It's also for your kids' well-being. Kids will generally do as you do. A kid will say kind words oftentimes because the parent modeled saying kind words. A kid will attend worship services regularly because their parents modeled attending worship services consistently. And so it's so important to be a good example of Christ-likeness for your kids. And I know it could feel almost unfair, like an uphill battle at times, because kids will generally pick up so quickly on your sins and will hardly learn anything of your virtue. That's just how the sin nature works, right? That's just the uphill battle of their flesh. And so if you have some personal sins that you don't want your kids to pick up, like a quick temper or laziness or other things like that, then I encourage you, seek out discipleship so you can grow in those areas, so that you can strive in putting those sins to death and model godliness to your children instead. And I don't have time to really get into this, but notice how verse 4 talks about fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So notice your actions can either promote love or anger in their heart. And we don't have time to go over this in detail, but on your notes, I provide a list of things that can provoke our children to anger. These might be some areas where you personally need discipleship, where you personally need to repent and ask God to help you grow, and even need somebody to give input into your life to help you conquer these various areas: pride, inconsistency, overprotection, and so forth. And so, as you can see, godly character is important for training your kids. And of course, growth in Christ-likeness is important because it's for the glory of Christ. I mean, you bring Him great glory when you display the power of His saving work through your life. Look what Christ has done in my life. And you put Him on display. Fourthly, I would exhort you to grow in the hope of His promises. Grow in the hope of His promises. I wanted to include this point because parenting can be discouraging. You need hope to press on. Hope is what helps us to endure. And now God has not given us a promise that He will save every single child of His chosen people. We don't have that sort of promise in the Scriptures. You can't ultimately control whether your kids get saved or not. So that's not actually where our hope lies. But you do have the great hope that God is merciful and gracious and He loves to save. You do have the great hope that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And you do have the great hope that you can please the Lord through your parenting. Even if your child rejects the message for many, many years, you have the hope that your Savior can still say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You pleased me with your parenting." You could still be a pleasing parent, no, independent of how your child has responded. Amazing, huh? And so parents, please Christ through your parenting by pursuing Him with increasing passion. And secondly, you will please the Lord by pointing your kids to Christ with indelible perseverance. If you don't know what that word indelible means, it just means lasting, enduring. First of all, point your kids to Christ because of what God expects of them. Because of what God expects of them. Verses 1 to 3 here tell us what God expects from our children. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And so God is calling children to obey their parents. Now, I think oftentimes we as parents long for our children to obey because it makes life so much easier and sweeter. If the children would only do, would just do what I want them to do, if they would just honor me, man, life would be so swell. But how about thinking about it this way? Obedience isn't ultimately your expectation on their life to make your life more comfortable. Obedience is actually God's expectation on their lives for His glory. That should make teaching them to obey all the more urgent, because this is a matter between them and God. This is a command directly given to the children, isn't it? They themselves are either greatly pleasing God and dishonoring their creator. They are either pleasing God or heaping up wrath for themselves and callousing themselves to the Lord's glory. That's a hefty thought to consider as a parent. You know, when verse 3 talks about it going well with the kids, right? So that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. That should remind you that there are consequences for children living either in obedience or disobedience. When kids disrespect you, there are consequences for that. Not even primarily from you, from God. Because these are divine consequences. I believe primarily that he's referring to. God is the one who makes it go well with us ultimately, doesn't he? God is the one who ultimately makes us prosper and have success, or makes it go, the world go against us. Those are his consequences to give out. And so these consequences aren't ultimately related to the kids not having a great job when they're older, or having to pick up garbage at Six Flags for the rest of their life. These are really divine consequences that he's talking about here. And so notice, children are commanded to obey their parents. This is something they ought to personally be willing to do. Whether they have good parents or not, whether their parents taught them these things. This should be a command they willingly follow from their own heart. And of course, from what we know about sin nature, from what we know about what the Bible says about how we're born in our depravity, following God isn't natural to us. Children don't naturally fear God and honor His commands. And that's why you must be committed, devoted, to point your kids to Christ with this lasting perseverance. Because how can they truly fulfill these expectations with a right heart unless Christ gets a hold of them? How can you save their souls from these divine consequences unless Christ changes their heart? And this is why you should be absolutely desperate to make sure the gospel is part of your regular family life. This is why you should be utterly diligent in bringing your kids to church and youth ministry and studying the word at home and making sure that you're not hindering the advance of the gospel in their lives. This is something you need to persevere in, parents, because you don't want just well-behaved kids. You want kids who are transformed from the inside out, who have bowed the knee to Christ. And by the way, in talking about this regenerate heart, don't get into the trap of thinking that your children are only required to obey if they're saved. Because I know that's how some parents in Christian circles think. Well, you know, they're not saved, so I can't teach them to respect me, and I shouldn't expect them to do this, to respect me and honor me, because God hasn't saved them yet. No, and even an unregenerate child should still learn to obey you. They may not do it with the right motives, but they should still learn to obey you. Because obedience is still better than disobedience. And the more you allow your kids to harden their heart and callous their heart in disobedience, the harder it's going to be to reach them with the truth. And so this is something you need to teach your kids, whether they're saved or not. And so point your kids to Christ because of what God expects of them. Secondly, point your kids to Christ by bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So notice verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word, bring up, carries the idea of raising them up from childhood to adulthood. You have a goal of what you want them to be when they're adults, right? You have a picture. What kind of person do I want my kid to be when they grow up? You are bringing them up towards that goal, bringing them up towards that end, because that's what I want them to be. That's the kind of person I want them to be. Notice how this command is here directed towards the fathers, at least in our English translations. The Greek word could actually be translated generically as parents. And I think that it's true that both father and mother are greatly invested in this task. But it's definitely possible that Paul wanted to specifically direct this command to the fathers here. And if so, that would be a great reminder that you fathers need to take the lead in this parenting task. Don't wait for your wife to suggest that you need to have family devotions and your family needs to go to Sunday school and take your kids to youth ministry. You gotta do it, man. You be the leader in this. If your house isn't more spiritual, that falls on you as the father. That falls on your shoulders. Now notice how Paul mentions two aspects of bringing up your kids. First of all, you're going to point your kids to Christ by bringing them up in the discipline of the Lord, he says here. The word for discipline is a pretty broad term that just includes training, has the idea of training. You want to train them up so that their lives are pleasing to God. And this term can encompass both positive instruction through encouragement and teaching, and also corrective discipline through restraint, chastening, corporal punishment. And the Bible speaks a lot on both sides, so I don't think that word discipline is just trapped on the corrective side of things. It has both positive and negative aspects to it. You must positively guide your kids and negatively rebuke and discipline them. And then secondly, he says, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. This is basically a synonym of the first word, discipline. This word also involves teaching. It encompasses both positive and negative aspects. It could refer to providing positive counsel, positive guidance, and then negative warnings, rebukes, admonishments. And this is something you are commanded to do regularly, diligently. Bring them up regularly in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I mean, would you say that you do this regularly with your kids? That it's a characteristic of your parenting. 10 years from now, let's say that your kids looked back 20 years, okay, if you have infants, okay? 30 years, maybe. Let's say your kids look back on the years that they spent in your house as you raised them, right? And they were evaluating, how did my parents do? Yeah, would they be able to say that my mom and dad weren't perfect, but they did really strive to bring me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? I could definitely testify that. They weren't perfect. Man, they had their moments. They certainly had their moments, but they really did train me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Is that what your kids would testify? Based on what they're seeing in your household right now. You know, I know some parents are hardly involved, hardly give their kids any direction, whether positive or negative. I've noticed other parents that are only willing to rely on one aspect of the discipline process. For example, some parents primarily get involved only when something bad goes wrong, and they're hardly around to positively guide and teach their children. Other parents are only willing to get involved by teaching positive lessons to their kids, and they avoid all corrective discipline at all costs. Other parents don't get involved at all. They just leave it to their spouse to do all the disciplining, all the teaching, all the correction. Where do you stand? Your parenting should include both perspectives. You must tell your kids, this is the way you should go. And you must also, kids, stop going down this path. This is the path that leads to destruction. You must have both aspects of parenting as you raise your children. And you want to strike a balance. And that doesn't mean 50-50 here, okay? That doesn't mean 50-50. I think actually the primary bulk of your parenting involvement in your kids' lives should be this positive instruction, which should be seen through encouragement, comforting, exhortation, teaching. That should be the primary bulk of your involvement. And I know that one thing, trap we could get into as parents, we only get involved when something negative happens. We're responsive only when something bad goes on, and then we start teaching them. But no, don't wait for something bad to happen. Teach them regularly through the rest of your time. I think that's, you know, there's way more commands in the scriptures about teaching and instruction and comforting and encouragement than there are about rebuking and admonishment and correcting. And so let most of the relationship you have with your kids be characterized by these positive aspects of guiding them, just spending time with them to teach them lessons on life. Don't let your kids think that you only get involved when you need to correct them. That's one of the ways that you actually exasperate them. You provoke them to anger if you only get involved when negative things happen. And if you aren't very involved in teaching and instructing and in disciplining your kids, can I just ask you to take a moment right now and ask why? Why aren't you very involved in this process? Why don't you get more involved in doing this? Is it laziness? Is it because you don't see it's working? Is it because, you know, you've given up? You're just weary. I mean, really examine your heart. What are the reasons why you're not doing this? And if it's a sinful reason, laziness, fear, anxieties, repent of it. Repent of those excuses and do something. Change. Get involved in teaching and admonishing your kids. And by the way, maybe you haven't been an involved parent. You recognize your failures. Well, the gospel is for you too. The gospel is for you too as a parent. Christ forgives even your failures as a parent. Praise God. And he gives you the strength and the hope to press on and change even through this difficult task. And so praise God that you're here. I hope this parent equipping day encourages you to start taking some steps in the right direction. It's not too late. You can start pleasing Christ today through your parenting. And he's not calling you to be a perfect parent either. So don't get that impression. You can't ultimately control whether your kids get saved. Christ simply wants you to be faithful to what he's called you to do. Be faithful to pursuing him with increasing passion. Be faithful to pointing your kids to Christ with indelible perseverance. And no matter what type of job your kids end up having when they're older, you can have the joy of being able to say, I did exactly what Christ called me to do. I pleased him with my parenting. That's our goal. That's what we want to do as Christian parents. Let me just say a quick prayer. Lord, make this day edifying. Encourage the parents here. I pray that it would just challenge all of us and help us to be resolved to be the mom and dad you want us to be. Give us strength and even fruit in this task. In Christ's name, amen.